Your training is like the black sheep of the family. You know, people don't tend to practice it because they don't see immediate rewards. It's the hidden element behind making music. If you don't have a good ear, you'll never. The ultimate goal is actually letter D on the sheet here. Be able to hear an idea, visualize where it is on the fretboard, and then be able to play it. You know, and if we're in the key of C, and if I hear an idea that goes. Whatever, or so it goes through that computer program where I hear the idea in my inner ear. I don't have to sing it out loud. I'm just singing out loud to show you guys how it's like what's happening. The idea can either be self-generated, like I came up with it in my imagination. Or it can be something I heard off the radio. So if it's a lick that goes, da 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 da, whatever that Santana's, then I can pretty much find. Not only can I find it, I can find it in any position. For people listening along, you can't really tell, although there's a slight difference in timbre in a different position. But pick any fret area, and I know where that lick is, so the fretboard theory comes in strong here. But mostly, we're talking about being able to hear. And so the hearing is the intervals, like the actual sound between two different intervals. So if I played, like close your eyes for a minute. If I played, you know, what is the relationship of that second note?
Six.
Aha, she said it right now. Now this happens to be someone who's listened to my ear training audio. And she's listened to all three volumes, and then she bought the Jamie Abersole ear training, so she's really into it. There's lots of resources. You can go online and do computer generated ear training tests and things, and you can listen to my audio thing. Someone told me the ear training volumes that I made, they could have given the answers. You know, I posed all these interval questions without giving the answers. And so I'll have to go back and review those. But if you do them, write down your answers, hopefully not while you're driving, and then bring them in and we'll check them and see if you're right. You know, that's one thing. But ear training is just something you have to practice. I mean, wouldn't it be cool to just... You ever hear two people trading ideas and they bounce ideas off each other effortlessly and they can even harmonize with each other's ideas? Like, let me just have you demonstrate, for example, play any pentatonic lick, no more than five notes tops. Anywhere between, let's say, three and five notes, and I'll turn my back. Well, that's easy. Just ran the scale, easy. So something else. Go a little slower and mix up the note order. If you played that in real life, like, and we jammed on it, go ahead, play it. And I plant her back. Now think of a new riff.
No, I'm sorry, that's not on the scale. Yeah,
whatever, just, right? Just but it's there. So it's not just that, it's mimicking the, I don't always have to mimic the exact pitch, but I can mimic the phrase and let's play off each other. Like, here's a group, one, two, three, four, and so just keep on answering me back and I'll answer you back. You don't have to mimic. One, two, three, four. Improvising with the rhythms that you're doing, even if sometimes you don't mimic the exact pitch, you just mimic the shape of it, the contour of it. But there's so many different. I'm not doing it justice. That's only one small aspect of hearing intervals. But the fact that you heard it was a sixth means that if you know where the sixth is, going back to my example, then you can, anywhere you're at, you're on the fretboard, in whatever key you're in, if you know your major scales, you can easily find the sixth without having to play. This is where fretboard theory comes in. Without having to play the actual major scale, you just visualize where the sixth is. And it does come in time. If you can visualize in any particular shape, you visualize where the roots are. So then in time, you visualize that the next note above it is the two, the next note above that is the three, and then plus when you learn arpeggios, it's 1-3-5, 1-3-5, 1-3-5, 1-3-5. So that cuts down the amount of navigating. So if you know where all the fives are, you can immediately hit the six. You just know it's the next note up. So it might feel a bit overwhelming, like, what? I got to learn each of those intervals by themselves and where they all are in relation to the root. That's too much work. No, but all the other stuff you do cuts down that amount of work. Well, again, all these paths intersect the further you go, and so it gets narrower. The field, or whatever it is, the field of possibilities gets much narrower because you're informed by the other areas, if that makes any sense. Moving on, when I say chords, I just mean whether the chord, what type of chord it is. So if I'm improvising, all right, turn my back, we're in the key of C, because we're not talking about pitch recognition anymore, we're just talking about the quality of the chord. We're in the key of C, give me a major, minor, dominant, or half diminished or diminished chord, and I'll tell you what it is. Well, that's minor. Do another one. That's dominant. What else? Meaning the seventh chord for those listening. That's just major. So I can actually say them faster than, oh, because I didn't hear the C sharp. Well, you changed keys on me. It would be down one fret. Oh, go ahead, let me hear the diminished. You meant to play a C diminished.
Diminished.
Of course, I know what it is. Diminished.
Not a half diminished, but a diminished. Okay,
got it. Oh, that's half diminished. Shit. Fully diminished would be like this. Yeah, good. Yeah. And so whatever it is, you hear the chord and you can just improvise over it. Like, how about this? You play C major and you play any chord, any 12, any root, doesn't have to be C, and any type of chord, major, minor, dominant, diminished or half diminished. She plays one bar of C and you play one bar of some other chord. Don't tell me what it is. I'm going to turn my back and improvise on it. All right. So you let me know when you picked it. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So you're gonna play. You strum 4/4 of your chord, and then you strum your 4/4 back and forth like that. Like 1, 2, 3, 4. 11, 8. That's okay. Because that's a G7. That's easy. Now you're really getting freaky, Ari. One more time with the C. This is fun. 2, 3, go. Wait, you're both mixing up on me? Okay, that's fine. This is interesting. So, all right, yeah, do it. All right, just for a second, do it. Two random chords. Do whatever you like, then. All right, I like this idea. 1, 2, 3, go. you got the idea. So that the my ear couldn't be improved, because it can, but it was pretty quick. It was within, like, certainly a two beats, maybe, that I knew where I was. Sometimes I couldn't hear the chord exactly, but I played a note that I thought would work, and then I used that information to correct. Like, oh, that's the fifth of his chord, and I'm on F sharp, so therefore it must be a B that he's playing. So that's why it takes a beat or two. But a beat or two is not bad when I have no clue. That was good. We should do that more often. You should do that with yourself. So in that case, we combined two things. We combined the quality of the chord with root recognition. There's a two different skills. One is to recognize the root, and the other one is to recognize the quality. So does that make sense? Like, if you want to test yourself, tell yourself the key up front. If you want to test yourself without having to do both at the same time, tell yourself what key you're going to do first, and then pick one of the five qualities, and then be able to recognize it. Again, there's computer software that does all this. And then a progression we just did. But now give me a progression that kind of, like, makes sense in music theory, and I can tell you what that is. Does that make sense? Certainly if I could do it just random two chords, I can do it in a... Like, you guys know your music theory pretty well. Give me a random chord progression, let's say in C, that follows, you know, easy Roman numerals. It's into the music theory thing, which we're going to get into in a minute. So go ahead, just make up a chord pattern. Don't tell me what it is. Maybe four chords in the key of C. Go ahead.
C minor or C major?
C major. Well, that's outside the key a little bit. That's E7.
Mm-hmm.
I did that by ear. Can you do one? Outside the key there, too.
So you've got, in your harmonized scale, you've got that in E7 and C major.
Okay. C major is E minor 7, the third one.
Is that not E minor 7?
E minor 7, yeah. Maybe you meant to play E minor 7, but you played E7.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
It would be E minor 7 would look like this. Just do E minor. Let's hear the example in the key of C.
One, two, three, four.
And I immediately hear that as a 1-3-4-5 progression. Right? So these things all collide. So when this takes us into the music theory